We welcome you to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. We're happy you are here to worship with us. If you're a new parishioner, please contact the office or see a sacristan after Mass, and they will gladly give you a welcome packet. At this time, please take a moment to silence your cell phones. The Diocese of St. Petersburg has launched a new Catholic Ministry Appeal. This CMA will replace the annual Pastoral Appeal, or APA, that is more familiar to you. A mailing has been sent out to everyone in the diocese with more information. There has been a correction to the Knights of Columbus dinner dance afternoon event. The date is Sunday, March 6th, between 2 and 4. Additional details will be included. Let us begin our devotional prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in our battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and the other evil spirits who prowl about the world for the good of souls. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To you who cry, poor and children in need. To you who send up our sighs, mourning and weeping for us failed in tears. Turn in as the most gracious advocate, your eyes of mercy toward us. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be prayer intentions for our Mass today is for William Golden. Our celebrant is Father Gray.
We live, we move, we have our very being in Him. is truth. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Your word is life. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Your word is eternal. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen. Amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is his excellency, and Ezra, the priest scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, "Go, eat rich foods, and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared. For today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. The word of the Lord.
Our psalm responds, "Your words, Lord, are spirit and life."
Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. It does not, for this reason, belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I do not need you." Nor again the head to the feet, "I do not need you." Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are all the more necessary. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with the greater honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with the greater propriety. Whereas our more presentable parts do not need this. But God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to a part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The word of the Lord.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and according to his custom, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Then, rolling up the scroll, Jesus handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we're not going to have one for another 3 years, but the highlight of every presidential inauguration is the inaugural address. I'm sure, are aware that in the midst of the Depression, those days. In January 1933, Franklin Roosevelt said to the nation, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And we all were around, at least almost all of us, in 1961 when John Kennedy said to his fellow Americans, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Seems as though those words have been all but forgotten. In any case, today the gospel records the inaugural address of a new religious leader, a young rabbi who went to the synagogue where he grew up. He stood up to do the reading and he quoted the powerful words of the prophet Isaiah. Everyone knew those words in that synagogue, but he quoted them with reference to himself. "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." One sentence homily, based on the scripture passage he read, which is what his homily is supposed to be, but one that filled people with hope, one that they were desperate to hear, one that had been waiting a very long time. Jesus declared himself to be a man with a mission from God that was clear. "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free." Now, Pope Francis himself has demonstrated over and over again that if there were ever words to describe the mission of the church to the world today, which is our mission, these are the words. And like the words of Ezra, the prophet in the first reading, in the story we heard today, these were words of encouragement and words of promise for everyone, but especially for the poor, for all those people in society who are unable to help themselves, and for all the victims of injustice. So these words of Jesus are timeless, but just like the noble words of presidents or popes cannot be put into practice by their working all alone, the truth of Jesus' words can only be realized when all the members of the body of Christ work together and not just some. And we know that doesn't happen easily. Just the history of Christianity and the breakup of the church over the centuries proves that. And it doesn't happen very often. In the second reading, we have one of my favorite passages and some of the most well-known words in the entire New Testament about all those body parts. But St. Paul uses the body as an image to remind all Christians that we form one body. We tend to forget that in this day of individualism. And so what that means is that we all share responsibility for realizing the dreams of our spiritual and political leaders. If we know what happens when everybody doesn't get on board the same bus, then nothing happens. We see it every single day. So what this means is that the freedom that we all long for, which we will only experience fully in God's reign in the kingdom, and the same goes for the justice that we will only know fully in the reign of God, and the same for the peace that will never leave us. These things will only be realized, because obviously they have not been among us, when they become the work of everyone who follows Jesus again, and not just a few. So, in other words, if those words that Jesus proclaimed in that synagogue are to become real for people who suffer today from poverty, natural disasters, or from hunger, or from disease, then as the members of the church, we must not just tell people or get up on a soapbox and preach about the good news, but we must show them that good news. We must put those words into action, even in small ways, and we'll get to that in a moment. We need to become that good news. We need to put it on and let it, invite it in. Because, as you know, you read the newspaper, you watch the news, we have terrorism, we have domestic violence, we have earthquakes, tornadoes, fire. People are being hurt in every way. But if people are to get up again and recover and reclaim their lives and rebuild their lives, then it's not just someone else. It's not just the American Red Cross or the Catholic Relief Services. It's all of us who must, even in small ways, on an individual basis, come to their aid by whatever we can do. At the very least, just to speak words of compassion and words of hope to one person at a time. We have so much ignorance in society, so much darkness, so much anger, so much prejudice, so much fear. We know how alive these things are in our very midst. We have to be the ones to speak up in support of justice, in support of truth, in support of the right to life, wherever we see these things being violated. As you can see, even after 2,000 years of Christianity, we still have a long way to go. We still have a lot of work to do. We, that means you and I. So, what difference, everyone, we wonder, can my little individual efforts make? What good is so little that I can do for so many who are hurting and in need? Well, a little story makes shed some light on that. This old man was walking along the beach after a storm. And walking along up ahead of him was a young woman. And she was picking up starfish that she saw stranded at the low tide and throwing them back into the sea. So when the old man caught up to her, he asked her what she was doing. And she explained that the starfish would die. They'd be scorched by the sun unless they were returned to the sea. So the man said to her, well, this beach goes on for miles and for miles. There are thousands of starfish. What difference can your small effort make? So she just picked up a starfish and held it gently in her hands, and she said, it makes a big difference to this one. And with that, she returned it to the sea. Never underestimate what your individual efforts can do, even to help one fellow human being. We are all in this together. So if you want to know, if you want the words of Jesus to become real in your own life, if you want to know their full beauty and their full power, inscribe them on your heart. Invite them in. Put them into practice in your life the best you can. Make these words your own, and let them describe not just the work of Jesus in the world, let them describe your work as well.
Kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life.
Father, the Son,
who with the Father and Son is adored and glorified,
who has spoken to the prophets.
I believe in one holy, ever and apostolic church.
I confess my baptism for the forgiveness of sins,
and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
In every age, our God has been the refuge of his people. Let us pray that the darkness, the prejudice, the fear, the anger, so prevalent in our society and times in our lives, may be dispelled by the light and the grace of God upon our hearts.
For the church, may the Lord bless her and protect her from all evil as she proclaims the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our civil leaders, may God lead them in working for charity, justice, peace, and reconciliation in a divided world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick and suffering, may God bring them comfort and healing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For this community of faith, may the Holy Spirit guide us in using the gifts God has given us to build up the kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have died in the light of Christ, may they soon enter the wedding feast in the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our Catholic ministry appeal, that inspired by Christ's witness of meeting the concrete needs of others, we might be inspired to meet the needs of our parish community. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions we hold in the silence of our hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord God, heal the divisions within our world, within the Christian community, within our nation, and within us. Help us to know our solidarity with all human beings created in your image and redeemed by your mercy, and that we are one body with one another in Christ. We give you thanks through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As gifts are prepared, let us sing together. We are many parts. Number 586.
We are many parts. We are all one body.
Sin to be our Savior, so that you might see and love in us what you saw and loved in your Son. And so with all the angels and saints, we praise you without end with one voice as we acclaim. Son who has come among us in your name. He is the word that brings salvation. He is the hand you stretch out to sinners. He is the way by which you offer your peace to the world. When human beings turned away from you and sinned, you brought us back to you, Lord, so that we might learn to love one another again through your Son, whom you handed over to death for our sake. And so we celebrate the reconciliation Christ Jesus has won for us. We ask you to make these gifts holy by pouring forth your Spirit, that they may become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. For it is his command we fulfill when we celebrate these mysteries. We recall that when he was about to give his life on the cross to set us free from sin and death, as he reclined at supper with his disciples, he took bread in his hands. And giving you thanks and praise, he broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take this, all of you,
and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, on that same evening, he took the cup of blessing in his hands, and acknowledging your mercy, Father, he handed the chalice to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Then he said to them, "Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Celebrate this memorial of the death and resurrection of Jesus, who left us this great pledge of his love. We offer to you what you have given to us, the sacrifice of reconciliation. We ask you, Father, to accept us together with your Son, and to, in this saving banquet, to endow us more fully with his very Spirit, for he takes away everything that estranges us from one another. May he make your church on earth a sign of unity and an instrument of your peace among all the peoples of the earth. May he keep us in communion of mind and heart with our Pope Francis, our Bishop Gregory, and with all who serve your people. And just as you gather us now around this table of your Son, so also bring us together in heaven, Father, with Mary, our mother, and with her husband Joseph, the apostles and martyrs, Elizabeth Ann Seton, and all the saints, and with our brothers and sisters, and with those of every time and place who have died in your friendship, bring us all to share with them the unending banquet of unity and perfect peace in a new heavens and a new earth. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. As we watch and wait in joyful hope for the glorious coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
He said to your apostles, "Lord, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church. Graciously grant us unity and peace according to your will, for you live and reign forever and ever.
Amen."
May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Offer each other a sign of peace. God who takes away the sin of the world, blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy to enter
into the supper of the Lamb.
Presence of the Lord is in this place.
Let us pray. You bring us to new life, Lord God, through these sacraments we have received. May we always rejoice and praise you for your great gifts. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Health and mind and body, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth to serve and love the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we are sent forth, let us sing Rain Down, number 614.